Open up your Word. We're going to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of prayers that Paul prayed, and we're going to just talk about some things. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to pick up about verse 15 here. And Paul says this. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Drop right on down to verse 2. "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," everybody say, "but God." "But God, who is rich in His mercy, for in great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and have raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Paul here is praying. He's wanting us to understand and know that we have been given this ability to have the wisdom of God. Notice he's praying. He says, I want you to get this spirit of wisdom. I want you to get spiritual wisdom. I want you to get insight. I want you to grow in your knowledge of God. Actually, the New Living Testament, verse 17, says, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. See, he wants you to see this thing. The Amplified says it like this, and I like this. He says, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of Him. You see, here's the thing, folks. We don't have to walk around like we don't know what we're doing. We don't have to walk around blind. We don't have to walk around wringing our hands, worrying about what God's up to. We can know the things of God because God has given us the mind of Christ, so that we can get into the Word of God and have a deeper understanding of God. But also, see, here's the reason Paul wanted them to get in to understand this, is because we need to understand the deepness of God in us. Not just who God is, but who God is in us. You see, the church is falling way short when it comes to knowing who they are in Christ. We're going around acting like the world acts, and we're not the world. Did you hear me? Yes, they're human beings just like we are, but there is a difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. The child of God has the Spirit of God on the inside of them. The Spirit of God is the power of God. And we have to understand that we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul said, I'm praying that you get a knowledge, a revelation knowledge of who you are in Christ and the deep things of God, so you know how to operate the way God wants you to operate. See, the church has been not operating where they should be. We've been operating like the world operates and doing things like the world does, and that's not who we are. And that's not who God is. Now notice here, I want to show you something to help you out here. Notice what it says up here in chapter 1. Notice where it sat Jesus. It says, which he wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and He set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now look where that is. It's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. Look where He set the Lord Jesus. Everybody see that? Can you say amen if you see that? All right, now jump down to chapter 2. Look here. Verse 6. And hath raised us. Who? Us. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see that, church? You are not below the devil. You are above the devil. You're not normal. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not normal. No, you're not normal. You've got to understand that. You are a child of God that has been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. So that puts you, verse 21, chapter 1, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. You're sitting in the same place the Lord Jesus is sitting in, at the right hand of power. And see, we've got to get a hold of that. The church, Paul is praying for them. Get a revelation of who you are and where you are. You're not trapped on earth. You've already been made to be sitting in heavenly places at the right hand of power. Hallelujah. That's something to get excited about. Listen to Amplified where it says, verse 6 there in chapter 2. Made us to sit, given us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere. By virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Notice of that. The Amplified says that we've been given joint seating with Christ. Well, the Bible says we're heirs and joint heirs with Him. So you've got to understand something. Once you became in Christ, then everything Christ is, you are. I know that's deep to swallow, and religion don't like it, the world don't like it, you know, but it's the Bible. The Bible, it was Paul that said He made us to sit in heavenly places, not Mike, not Pastor. Paul said it. The Bible said it. Now, you can believe the Bible or not believe the Bible. Most people don't believe the Bible. Come on. Most people, they still see themselves as old sinners. They still see themselves, oh, you know, now we're just not, and they made to be that way. Well, listen, you're a powerhouse. You something else. You're extraordinary. Come on now, you're peculiar, but you're extraordinary. You're not just ordinary, but you're extraordinary. You got to understand God made you that way. When Christ came into you, it changed you. Come on now, you know. How many of you watched the Marvel things? You know, I mean, how many knows who the Hulk is? Okay, well, you know, when the Hulk is not the Hulk, who is he? He's David Banner. Mild-mannered, just a normal person. But when that stuff that's on the inside of him starts working, what happens? He turns into the Hulk. Right? Come on now. You got something on the inside of you. You might not change by looks on the outside, but on the inside you have transformation power. Power that transform you from just an ordinary person into an extraordinary person that's full of power. You've got to get a hold of that, church. Understand that's who you really are. Come on now. You're not like the world. You're not like the devil's crowd. You're far above all that. Come on, you've got to get excited about that. See, that's the problem with the church. We try to keep ourselves, well, you know, I wouldn't want to think more highly of myself than I ought. Well, you shouldn't. But you've got to understand it's not you, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about what God has done for us and what God's doing in us. We're not talking about who we are. Our own righteousness is filthy rags. But we've been made the righteousness of Christ through His death, burial, and resurrection. And so we don't have to apologize. We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to back down from who we are. See, that's the devil's crowd that wants you to say, well, now I tell you what, you think you're something because you're a Christian. I am something. I'm a child of God, been anointed of God, and I'm going to heaven. How about you? Come on. This world ain't got nothing for me. It's all about Him and where we're going to, praise God. Amen. We need to get excited about that. But the church is too laid back. We're afraid somebody might say something to us. Well, I got news. Jesus said they persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. They'll talk about you. See, they talk about you if you're a good Christian. They talk about you if you're a bad Christian. Come on. So I'm just going to go. I've made up my mind. I'm just going to take what God has given me and I'm going to go with it. They can do what they want to. But I'm going to teach you about it. I'm going to encourage you to get a hold of the things of God. Paul's encouraging them. He said, I'm praying for you that you'll get a revelation of who you are and where you're seated. I'm praying that you do that. Now jump over here with me to chapter 3. Let's look at another prayer that Paul's praying here. In chapter 3, verse 14 here, he says, For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. See, here he is again, praying about that inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ with passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Notice that. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's working on the inside of you. See, Paul's trying to get us to understand here now in this prayer how much the love of God works in us and makes that power available to us. Let me give you Ephesians 3:19-20 here in the Amplified. Listen to what it says. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being and to all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of His divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Now to Him who, by inconsequence of the action of His power that is able to work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Know what He's superabundantly above everything that you can even ask or think or dream. Think about how much power is available to the believer. Think about everything that God has for us. And He says, if you can think about it, just remember this, that God can do superabundantly above whatever it is you're thinking. Whatever it is you're asking. See, here's the thing. We limit God because of our limited understanding. Okay? That's our problem. God's ability in us cannot be judged by natural understanding. See, and that's what people want to do. They want to look at you from the natural standpoint. Well, you know, that's impossible. Sure it is with man, but with God all things are possible. You see, so you've got to understand, we cannot limit God. We should never limit God in our thinking and what we think God can do. Listen, let me give you a couple of scriptures. 1 John 2:20 says, But you have an unction from the Holy One. That's the same word unction there as 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. It abides in you. See, when you start seeing this, you understand we have the Spirit of God living in us. If we could just get that. We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. But now here's the thing. You know, when we see that, we understand that living in us means we're inhabited by the Spirit of God. And I said it a minute ago. You're inhabited by the Spirit of God, which is the source of God's power. Come on, listen. The Holy Spirit is the power. Right? But you'll be endued with power from on high, right? Come on. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He is the power. He is the worker. When God spoke, He worked. The power came to be. That's on the inside of you. And so you gotta get a hold of that. Now, you know, most Christians see themselves as weak and powerless. They see themselves that way. And please understand this. Yes, we are dependent on God. Okay? We are dependent on God. But not as those that are helpless. Did you hear me? We're dependent on God. Not like we're helpless, but we're depend on God because that's where we draw our power from. You see, it's not us, but it's God in us. You see, and the mature Christian realizes that. We know that we have God on the inside of us. Now, let me help you with something here. It doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. It matters what's on the inside. See, let's just go with a natural thing. When it comes to machines, it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. It's what's on the inside that powers it. See, I've watched and I've been around long enough and seen things. We have gone now from, it used to take 2 or 3 rooms to hold a computer that now that you can wear on your wrist, and what you got on your wrist has more power than what 3 rooms full of stuff used to have. So you could look at that and say, well, now that little thing can't do anything. That little thing is full of power. Same thing with your phones. Your phones now do more than what their big computers did. Why is that? Because it's not about the size or what it looks like. It's about the power that's in it. My brother one time, I think he brought it off of Stevie here. My brother one time bought a, how many knows what an S10 Chevrolet is? An S10, you know, that's that little truck. You know, you see that little truck and you think, you know, it's a little truck, right? Well, Brother Stevie or some of them down there, they'd soup that baby up. It had like a, I think you all put a 350 in it or something, didn't you? Here's a V8 engine, but man, that truck had power. It looked like the rest of them, but it had power. You see, because what's on the inside that matters. Don't matter what the outside looks like. I kind of got tickled at Damon, his company truck. They just gave him a new company truck. And he started it up over at the house the other day and went, it's a full-size Chevrolet truck and they've got a 4-cylinder in the stupid thing. Now, it's a turbo, but I mean, you know, it's still, when it starts up, it sounds like a Volkswagen or something. You know, a truck ought to sound like a truck, right? You start a truck up, but you know, again, looks big on the outside, on the inside. Come on now. Well, just the other way, don't matter how we look on the outside, the devil looks at you and thinks, oh, you're nothing. The world looks at you and says, you're nothing. But the world ain't heard you start up yet. You know, you start moving them lifts and start praying that other language. And I'm telling you, it's like that big engine revved up because now that power is coming out of your mouth and you're speaking out mysteries to God. And you have on the end, you're just getting yourself stirred up so you can release the power of God on an unsuspecting world. That's the kind of power that's on the inside of you. Don't ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, well, I'm nothing. You're lying if you say that. Matter of fact, you're making God look like He's nothing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God didn't make you a nothing. He made you a son. If you're born again, you're a son, a daughter of God. And the Spirit of God's on the inside of you. Don't ever say that's nothing. Jesus died on a cross so your sin could be forgiven. Then He ascended to heaven so He could send that power back down here to abide in you. You ought to get excited about that. I got the Spirit of God on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Come on now. Notice this. You and I are Christians. Christ, I-A-N-S. Right? Christians, right? The word Christ means the anointed one and His anointing. That's what you are. The anointed one and anointing. Listen, Isaiah 10:27 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that His burden shall be taken from off thy shoulder, and His yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. See, it's not you, but the anointing that's in you. Got to understand that. You have power on the end. Let me show you. Let me go to Acts chapter 13 with me. Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 6. Acts 13, verse 6. It says, "And when they'd gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God." Here's somebody calling, wanting to hear the word of God from Paul and Silas. See that? "But Elymas, the sorcerer," for so is his name by interpretation, "withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, 'O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season.' And immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." Look what happens. Now you say, "Well, that's Paul." Well, it is Paul. But understand that Paul was a man just like us. He was human just like us. Paul was not extraordinary in the natural. He was a normal person just like you and I. But you take a normal person and put the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. Let me read. I want you to see this. Just look here in case you didn't catch it. Let me read it again here. Verse 9. "Then Saul," which is Paul, "who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him." Notice that? He didn't just look at him. He gave him a Holy Ghost stare. Come on. He looked at him and said, "You devil, you. You think you're going to stop the Word of God here? You think you're going to stop him from receiving the Word of God? Be struck blind for a season." That's the anointing of God. Paul didn't do that, but it was by the power of the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden he's blind. And here's the result of that. When the sergeant saw that, he said, "Wow, you just made me a believer. Come on." See, if the church would start exerting themselves, if the church would start displaying a little more Holy Ghost power instead of acting like the world, we'd start believing God a little more. We'd start laying on the hands of the sick a little more. Come on now. Allowing God to work through us and do miracles and signs and wonders. If we'd be just a little more bold and quit worried about what somebody thinks about us, what somebody going to say about us, about our reputations. Come on. If we'd start doing the things of God, we'd start seeing the results of God. The reason we're not seeing more results is because we're not doing enough. I'm talking about personally. I'm talking about it as a church. I'm talking about all together. Come on. We need to be displaying the power of God. Now, jump over here with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Look here at verse 12. And it says, "By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." There was such an anointing going on. There was such a presence of God going on that people's faith rose to the level that they laid out their sick people out there. Apparently so many they probably was hard to get to them all. And they said, well, let's just lay them out there, and when Peter walks by, his shadow will touch them and heal them. That's some power when your shadow will heal somebody. Come on. But you see, again, it's not you. It's the power in you. And see, all you and I are reflectors of God. And we need to be projecting and reflecting the power of God on a lost and dying world. We need to let God get glory through us. We understand something. This was not just about the apostles. It didn't happen because they were apostles. It happened because they were believers. Now, I see people want to, a lot of times when they're reading and they're thinking, oh, you know, that was because they're apostles. No, it was because they were believers that believed. They believed what they were doing. They believed what they said. They believed when they laid hands on the sick, they would recover. Look over here. I'll show it to you in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, if you jump over there with me, verse 15. The Lord's talking here. He said to them, go ye to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow who? Them that believe. These signs will follow them that believe. Any believers in here? Come on now. So that means these signs will follow you. What signs are going to follow you? In my name, they shall cast out devils. Let me just stop right there. It's amazing how many people are afraid of the devil. We were raised to be afraid of the devil. Come on, we were taught to be afraid of the devil. I got news for you. You're a child of God. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. You can cast him out. Hallelujah. You need to get excited about that. These signs will follow them that believe. That's us. Right? Come on now. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's believers now. That's not apostles. That's not pastors, teachers, evangelists, fivefold ministry. Believers. Because we all fall into that same category. Believers. Look at verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God and went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with what? Signs following. Signs and wonders are a product of doing and speaking the word. You can expect God to confirm his word with signs and wonders. You see, that's what a believer does. A believer expects, they have faith that the word's going to work. But see, again, we limit ourselves through our believing. We limit ourselves. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. See, that's the thing. We mess up. We hinder ourselves because we're not believing the way we should believe. We're not truly believing what the Word says. We sit and in our head we agree with it, but you got to get it down here if you want to start seeing some things come to pass. It's got to be just as real to you on the inside as it is on the outside. Did you hear me? It's got to be reality to you. The Word says it, that's it, it's settled. You don't back down. You say, well, when I pray, when I say this, when I speak, when I lay hands, it's a done deal. Come on now. Then that messes with our mind. Y'all, some of you looking at me real funny, you're like, hey, he's kind of losing it here. No. Uh-uh. No, no. No, we just got to get our believing lined up with the Word of God. Amen. See, that's our problem right there. We got to get it lined up. Now, here's the thing. This is the power of God flowing through you and I. Okay? And we got to get that. We got to understand that. It's the power of God flowing through us. We are simply just being a conduit for God to flow through. Okay? Now, in the natural, you take any properly wired electrical system, it can handle any amount of power that flows through it. Okay? Your houses, They, when they put those boxes in there, you know, your electrical box, you go in there. There's a reason sometimes they're big, sometimes they're smaller. It just depends. And all of that's rated on the fact of how much power your house going to need. Okay? This building here, it's got three boxes that you probably got in your house because it's going to require a lot more power. It's also got a whole lot more power coming into it, but it's wired to handle the power that comes into it. Okay, and I'm trying to make a point to it, see, here. It can handle the power that comes into it. Now, you get an underrated system. And see, I'm old enough to realize and remember before breaker boxes were fuse boxes. How many of you remember some fuse boxes? Okay. The fuse boxes, you know, now you just go flip a little old switch. It's a breaker. Okay. Now, that breaker is there as a protective measure that if there gets too much power coming in, it throws and keeps that power from shorting something out in the house. Back in the day, you had fuse boxes. Some fuses screwed in. Some fuses were long and you had to put them in between, you know. And, you know, one of those things shorted out, it would scare you, man. Right now, if something shorts out in a breaker box, it just goes click. Back then, it'd go like that and smoke would fly. And you'd think, man, something's on fire. You blow a fuse because too much power surged. It was underrated. It wouldn't have done like it was supposed to do, you see. And so the reason I'm saying that is this. There are too many Christians blowing fuses. Did you hear me? The power of God is available to us, but when we start trying to take it in, it just tilts us. It blows our fuse. It causes us to fault, you know. We can't handle the pressure because the Word says that we're sitting there with our, we're trying to take it in, but it's hard for us to take in because, wow, God says all things are possible if I can believe. And if God says it, then I got to be able to handle it. But I don't, you know, I tilt. Right? We've got to get ourselves to the place where we can handle the power that's flowing through us. And realize that that's what we were designed to do. God did not underrate us. Come on. Matter of fact, God designed us to take more power than we could ever imagine. That's why He said He can do super abundantly above all we can ask or think. Now, here's the thing. The world and religion would have us to believe that we're so powerless that we can't do anything about our surrounding circumstances. You know, you hear people say, well, you know, whatever will be, will be. I don't agree with that. You see, it doesn't matter what the circumstance looks like. Most time folks will say, well, there ain't nothing you can do about that. I'm not sure about that, okay? I can't agree with you about that because I know that prayer works. I also know that I can declare a thing or decree a thing according to the Word of God and it'll come to pass. So you see, I do understand that there are things in a natural course. But I also understand that when I read the Bible, I saw great men of God change a natural course. The sun was stopped. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. Come on, church. I mean, people that spoke out and believed, and it happened. Matter of fact, time moved backwards. Think about that one for a minute. Now listen. This wasn't by God. It wasn't by Jesus. It was by a person that wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost that just believed God. Now, he didn't turn it back. God did. But he believed enough for God to do it through him. You see, that's the thing. Again, you and I got to believe God enough that he'll do it through us. He's flowing through us. He wants to change things. He wants us. Listen, one of the reasons this world is in the condition it's in now is because Christians have sat back and let the devil have run of the world. It's time for God to once again be God in this world, on this earth, in the Americas. And it's going to take Christians standing up and beginning to speak and decree who we are. I'm thankful our president, just not long ago, just signed the thing that said we are a Christian nation. We are a Christian nation. I get tired of these come up. Well, we're not really a Christian nation. We're a nation of many religions. No. We are Christian. There's many religions in this nation, but we are a Christian nation because we believe in Jehovah God and His Son Jesus Christ who died on a cross for us. We don't believe in Buddha. Come on now. We don't believe in Muhammad. We don't believe in all that stuff. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what makes this nation a Christian nation. Now, you know, we do have freedom of religion in this country. They can go ahead and do whatever they want to, but you've got to understand, don't say that this is not a Christian nation, because it is. And always will be. Because it was created as one and will remain as one. Come on now, church. That's why the United States has to back Israel, folks. It's why you got to be for Israel, because Israel is the reason we're here. We wouldn't be part of the kingdom of God if it were not for Israel. Come on now. Yeah, I see all these people out here acting like they act. You know, they can do what they... Yes, it was the Jews that killed the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll say that. You know, it was the Jews that killed Jesus. If they hadn't killed Him, we wouldn't even be in the family. If they hadn't killed Him, there wouldn't be a way for forgiveness of sin. It was part of God's plan for Jesus to be crucified by His own people. And then they would reject Him, and God would say, okay, you want to reject Him? I got a bunch of people over yonder. I got a bunch of Gentiles that I created them too. And they're my kids too. And I want to give them a way into heaven. And this is my plan to bring about salvation to the world. And why He brought salvation? He also brought this, the Holy Spirit, to live on the inside of us, which brought the power that's working on the inside of us. So don't be skittish about operating in the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to flow through you and having the power of God working through you. Listen, it's time for every believer to begin to operate in the power of God. Come on, wait, not just a few. You know, listen to what Jesus said in Luke 10:19. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. If you don't know what that is, that's demonic sources. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's what God did for you. Understand that. Jesus did that for us. Now, again, mature Christians, we understand that the power comes from God and that we're just a vessel for it to flow through. We understand that. We're in ourselves or nothing. But we also understand what Paul said in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things, Paul says. And Paul is talking about you. You can do all things through Christ, the anointing, which strengthens you. Here's the thing, church. We were created to allow the power of God to flow through us. So we don't need to hinder it. We don't need to stop it. We're not from the way we believe and not from any other thing. We can't hinder what God wants to do, because He wants to use every one of us. He wants us to see ourselves as the point of contact for His power. See, we got to release that. Did you hear me? We got to release it. God's got to flow through us to get it there. Let me just give you one more little illustration. We'll close out here. You know, the power that's powering this building right now, it comes from a power plant that's either, you know, it's generated through coal, gas, whatever, water, generates electricity. Now, the line that brings it here is the conduit. Okay? Now, if we have a stormy weather, trees fall and break the lines, guess what happens? The power never gets here, and so our lights go out, right? This, I know this is a very simple illustration, but you've got to understand this. Without the lines, the power never gets from where it's generated to where it's needed. What I'm trying to tell you is, have you got a tree laying across you? Are you broken? Come on. Because you are that conduit. You are that line that comes from the Creator of the power to get it to where it's needed. We are the body of Christ. Come on, church. We are His hands and feet. We are the ones that lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But it's up to us to see ourselves that way and understand who we are and not be ashamed of it. Well, I don't know. I'm afraid if I lay hands on them, nothing won't happen. It's not up to you. Come on. I mean, you know, as long as everything's clear from the power plant to this place, it's not the power plant's fault if we don't turn the light on. But if I turn that switch on and everything's coming here and there's no power, then it would be the power plant. No. It's the power comes from there. God is the healer. God is the deliverer. God is the raiser of the dead. God is the power. We're just getting it there. And leave the results up to Him. Just do your part. Amen. God wants you and I to understand. Paul's prayers are, realize who you are. Realize what's in you. And get a good, definite, get an intimate knowledge of what you can do through Christ and be that person for the kingdom of God. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, today that we just get that revelation, Father, deep down in our spirit of who we are in Christ and what You want us to do and how You want us to do it, Father God, that we are well able to